Lowe's knows July 4th savings are worth celebrating. Right now, get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. Plus, get three Scotts Naturescapes 1.5 cubic foot mulch bags for just $10. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details. Excludes Alaska and Hawaii.
Alrighty, on today's Something Major, it's round three recaps of Wimbledon. Let's go. Alright everyone, it's a two-man pod today. I love the two-man pods. We got me and Stevie J. I got the team at SIF with us as well. Jack prepping for his big tennis match next week. We'll probably dive into that in a couple days. It's tennis return, and Isner is in New York doing a little something for Wimbledon, which we might find out about.
Yeah, he's doing something for Wimbledon in New York. He's got like a cheesecake thing he's doing. I don't know what he's doing, but it looks exciting. But he's actually doesn't feel like overly confident in what he's doing. So it's hard to know what he's doing if he can't tell us what he's doing.
Oh, we'll find out. We'll get a recap from him. But wild, the upsets kind of chilled out a little bit, but Wimbledon's still been crazy so far.
It's been a wild time. From my couch, I was listening yesterday. I believe a top 10 women's player has lost every day of the event. From my couch, it's insane. What about you on the desk there? I mean, are you guys getting any good background? Like, I mean, you guys must be getting more information than us at home.
Desk has been good. We had Sinner on, which was fun.
That.
Yeah, Sinner was good. Wants to talk. He's obsessed with Formula One. Wants to talk like Formula One all day long. I don't know the American viewers. They want to talk about Formula One, but he stayed after we went off camera and just like kept chatting to me about Formula One. So I had to kind of bluff that I knew what I was talking about.
Is he a Ferrari guy, I would assume?
Big Ferrari guy.
Yeah. He's taking a stab in the dark there.
Yeah. And then yesterday we had Alcaraz on, which was fun. My issue was I had and I'm sure this has happened to people on the desk. I had to fart like crazy bad. I know it's like right before I held in a fart for like 9 minutes when the dude came in. Like I still have a stomach ache from it. I know this is crazy, but like what are you supposed to do? I'm like on the desk. It's like McKendry, me, like Carlos.
You can't do it.
Dude, my stomach was killing me. And you got the nice pants on with the belt like all latched in. Like,
can we attribute that to the poor diet you've been on of just like acai bowls and whatever else you've been eating?
The Werther's Originals, those little
that's what it
caramel.
Was.
You just sit in the green room and eat crap and then just like, oh man, I'm a little nervous when Carlos comes on or Yannick, I get a little nervous and like it just.
And understandably
it just made it worse and just my stomach still hurts. I held it in for a long time.
Those kind of jitters different than your first walk out to center to play? At Wimbledon?
Yeah. It's almost worse because I know what I'm getting into. When you go out to center, at least I know I've been practicing. I kind of know where my game is. It's still nerve-wracking. I get a little more nervous, I think, when like Carlos and Yannick come to the desk, as sad as that is.
When were you – I don't know if you asked like Fowler this. When you were doing the bunker with him on center the other day, did you happen to like ask him if he still gets like kind of nervous doing these kinds of things? Or is he just like so far beyond that and like – did it take him like 5 years, 10 years? Like,
yeah, good question. I didn't ask him. There's no way he's nervous anymore. Early on, like when he first started, like 2003, he's like, I had some bad calls. Like, so I'm sure there were some nerve wracking moments for him, but he's like, as you know, just so good.
Yep.
All right. Anyway, I'm going to try to hopefully the next few desk days go a little better for me.
Maybe stay away from the bubbly water.
No more sparkling European water. We had July 4th yesterday. Did you watch the hot dog eating contest with Joey Chestnut?
I think it would be anti-American if I didn't watch the American or the hot dog eating contest. It's an electric 10 minutes every year.
That gives me a stomachache. Speaking of stomachaches, to watch him and inhale that. Davis Cup. I wasn't at this Davis Cup. Give the listeners a little story. I want to say Davis Cup in like 2013. You were on the team in Austin and... I'll kind of like set it up. You guys had a hot dog eating contest at, I believe it was Roddick's house.
Yeah, it was 2011. We were the practice partners, myself, Evan King, Bradley Klon, and then we had a couple others join in. Andy had us at his beautiful house in Austin, kind of right on, I think it's Lake Austin at the time. and had this beautiful spread. It was July 4th weekend. It was like our first day there or second day. So the tie still is, you know, a few days away. So Andy had this beautiful spread at his house, had all the Davis Cupman staff over. It was unbelievable. So we're there, we're, you know, we're all kind of walking on eggshells. You know how it is as your first time Davis Cup practice partner. You're like, I know something's coming. I don't want it to come. Just kind of stay in the background. And Andy's like, all right, like you guys are all having a hot dog eating contest. We're putting five on there. And like, you know, each one of you, whichever one can get the five hot dogs, you know, eat them the fastest wins. Or the loser had to do some more punishment. Luckily, I am a good eater.
Yeah, I've seen you take some food down.
Like I'm not afraid. And I smashed the competition in that five hot dogs. Unfortunately, I did have a bit of a, how you call it, perception of maybe not having the best diet back in the day.
And were you dipping the buns in the water when you're doing that?
I wasn't, because it was, I won like so easy. It was no issue. But I mean, Sam would attest to this. Like I didn't have the greatest body shape back in the day. So I was self-conscious about that to begin with. But I remember after I won, Andy was like, basically trying to like goad us on and be like, he's like, I'll give you $100 for every hot dog you eat right now. Like, and he just put a bunch on the table. I'm like,
did you eat any?
I thought I could eat like at least five more. And I'm like a 21-year-old college kid, like $500. Like, but I remember Jay Berger just looking at me in Courier being like, you are absolutely not touching one of those. Like, this is insane. So like I stepped away. Like I didn't eat any of the food in Andy's house because I was like so self-conscious that I'd already eaten five hot dogs and like didn't want to eat any more food. It was kind of a sad day, actually, after all was said and done. But that's my – I'm one for one in the hot dog eating contest.
As far as tennis players, you're the best hot dog eater we know of.
I actually would still stack myself up against anyone.
Oh, that's good stuff. All right, let's get to some tennis. Sinner took out Pedro Martinez, our boy. I was kind of cheering for Pedro after we tried to make fun of him in Jack's team. He just got wiped off the court today. 1-3-1. I mean,
there was a moment there. It could have gotten like, I'm not saying there was, he had a chance to win, but he was 3-4, if I'm not mistaken, had, and Sinner, he had break maybe points. 3 or 4 break points that game. I mean,
he
you
was
never
in the
know.
Break points too.
And was in him. So I don't think, but, you know, I still think it's either straights or four at that point, but it could have been more more intriguing to a certain degree.
A Sinner hasn't lost serve. Pretty impressive. It's kind of like the at Roland Garros where we just routining guys those first few rounds. He looks good. Alcaraz beat Struff. Was up a set in a break, and the second set got away from him. That's what Carlos does, right?
This is what he's kind of shown to do. I actually have a question before we move on to this one.
Yeah.
Watching Sinner this morning, it sounds like the ball when he hits it is just different.
Like it you know why that is? Big. The roof was closed this morning because it was raining here.
Okay.
So maybe that was part of the roof is closed, as like, you know, you get a little more echo, but yeah,
Sounded like he was absolutely like pummeling the ball from the ground, which is no surprise. I mean, I think, you know, he's got some of the best, if not best, forehand and backhand in the game. But yeah, Alcaraz going to him, he does have these walkabouts, which is strange. We've talked about it now more frequently with the last, you know, slam being the French and now. But he still is able to kind of turn it around. Doesn't cost him matches, but it's just costing him valuable maybe time on court that may cost him later. But he's so young, I don't think that really actually makes a difference. So, but yeah, up a set and a break. And then kind of goes on a walkabout for 20 minutes. And then it's just like, oh, okay, all of a sudden, 3-4. Let's get a break each set and get out of here.
Yeah, yeah. He's just cruising. Fritzy beats Davidovich Fokina. I mean, we saw that coming.
I mean, you can argue Yannick and Carlos this way, but is there somebody better at, you know, wiping away, flushing away a bad 10 minutes and regrouping than Taylor Fritz right now? He's up at 2 sets, serving for the match, cruising, gets broken, loses the third. A lot of guys would struggle. He just resets on the changeover and goes 6-1. See you later.
He broke early in the fourth. Like, no, good
it's,
point.
It's
outside
impressive.
Outside of Carlos and Yannick, like you said, he's the next best at brushing off whatever's going on and just like, refocusing.
Even against Petsche Pericard, like ace, bad set. Oh, let's just flush it. Move on to the next one. Oh, I'm down 5-2 in the breaker. Move on to the next one. Like he's really impressive in that regard as a tennis player.
Yeah. Novak, 6-3, 6-0, 6-4. Should have been 3-0-2. He lost serve late. Is he going to win this? the more I watch him, the more I think Novak's winning this. I think he's going to give every ounce of energy that's in his body is going to be left on the court at this tournament. And I think he's winning it.
This is the surface. I mean, John is not here. I would love to get his thoughts on this just after the first three rounds, but he looks insane. I mean, he looks good. He's taking care of business. He's being very economical on himself, on his body, because he is going to get to the point where he has it. It looks like he's going to have to beat Jannik and then Carlos, right? He's going to have to beat both of these guys on his way to this title. It's hard to count Novak out. You know, I feel like I've done it, and that's a mistake, like in past tournaments and whatnot. But on the grass, you know, the way he returns, the way he moves, you know, it's not going to be a, I don't think there's going to be a 4 or 5 hour, like just crazy match out there on this surface for him. So he's got a chance and he looks really good and really focused.
He's in one of those like happy moods too. You see him warming up with the family, he's joking around. Yep. That's dangerous. Like,
that's a good sign for him.
That's a good sign. It's a good sign for him.
Also, 100th win at Wimbledon for him. 100th.
Dude, every month, it's like a new milestone. 100th like, title in Geneva. 100th win in Roland Garros. 100th win here. Like, what? Are you going to get 25 here?
There's a few guys that have it, right? Like Rogers, Rafa, Novak, that we've seen during our lifetime. But to have 100 wins at a Grand Slam is insane.
Yeah. It's nuts.
It's crazy.
Shelton beats Fuksovic easy. Shelton doing a good job of cruising through a good part of the section. He looked good. Dimonauer beats Holmgren, the USD Torero. Rublev beats Manarino. Khachanov beats Borges. Nothing. We don't need to report anything there. Just like Dimitrov beating Offner and Kobali beating Mensik. All pretty routine stuff. Sonego beats American Nakashima and a breaker in the fifth. I watched it. It Sonego got up to like a 5-4-0 lead in the breaker in the fifth. So like it was kind of anticlimactic.
Yeah. I mean, Brandon, I don't know what happened in the end of third. I've got to go back and check. I was he was up a break, I believe, serving for the third set.
I did not know that.
And then I had to run to the grocery store. You know, duty calls it, you know, sometimes. I came back and, you know, he was in the middle of the fourth. I was like, I didn't like to see that for Brandon. But
when we had Sinner on the desk today, he was supposed to come at, let's say, 5 o'clock. And he's just like on the roof watching Sonego and Nakashima. And we're like, all right, it's 5:05, 5:10. They're like, when's he coming? I'm like, do I need to go up there and like yank Sonego or Sinner away from the Sonego match? And they're like, no.
I don't think you're doing that.
Just wait for him. Do not go get him. Like, okay. If you want me to, I'll leave the desk and go get him. Guy's making us wait. Our boy Fonseca went down to Jarry. I thought that was going five. I was calling that match. Brutal. I credit to Jarry, though. He saved 6 break points in the fourth. He's got a big game.
He's got a big game. Good for the grass. He's capable of being very good. He's obviously struggled, you know, with some interesting ailments the last year. And he's talked about it here, you know, this not being able to see or, you know, things of that order, like
big,
dizziness.
Big no strip guy. It's so
he made the finals of Rome last year. So he is capable. And he's got a massive serve. He hits the ball hard and flat. And so he is dangerous on the grass, clearly. I mean, he's made the second week now. But bummer for Fonseca and all the fans. I think people really would have loved to see him on Monday.
Yeah, we needed him. All right, three more here. Nori won. Thompson won. Marchajajak beat Rinderknecht. Talk about some crazy names.
I was thinking about this earlier today, like watching Rinderknecht play out there. I think it's got to be hard to win your first round on center and then just progressively go to worse courts, right? Do you know what I mean? Like,
I beat Novak in the third round in 2016. Yeah. It was on court 1.
Yeah,
and then
I remember.
My next round, I was on court 18. I was like, this sucks.
Yeah.
It was
Mahout,
weird.
Right?
Yeah. Exactly. I played Mahout, but I was like, what? Dude, get me on one of the big courts.
Like, it's hard because you go from this massive stadium, and he was out there on like court 12. He lost this match on like court 12, and you're like, oh.
Right,
like, that's
he beat
a bummer.
Zverev, and just no one will ever remember that now. You lose on court 12. All right, let's move over to the women. We're going to have a new champion on the women's side for the 9th consecutive year. I mean, the men's side, there's upsets. The women's side is straight chaos.
It's chaos. There's no better way to explain it. Every time I think I've got it figured out, you just get smacked in the face.
It's like I'm a Sabalenka is the favorite, but then also there's like 7 other women that could win it. Her match against Raducanu, great match.
Great match.
7-6, 6-4. Impressive from Raducanu, because after Sabalenka won that first set, which I didn't think she was going to, I was like, oh, Sabalenka's going to win the second set like 6-0 or 6-1. No. Raducanu came back. It was up like 4-1 or 4-2 in the second, then got steamrolled. But credit to her. And that maybe probably match best match of the tournament on the women's side yet, even though it was two sets.
Yeah, I would think so. Just the way the first set ended. I mean, I remember I was watching it yesterday. You know, the crowd obviously is into it heavily, like the twists and turns. I mean, Sabalenka had 7 or 8 set points before she capitalized. Then Raducanu had one. So it's, yeah, I mean, Sabalenka is not rolling through the draw like I was hoping she would, as my prediction. But it's one of those things, as John would say as well, she's getting through these tough matches. She's being match tough. And she, at some point, she's going to play her best tennis. And hopefully that's a second week for her.
Andreeva beat Baptiste. Swiatek beating Collins. Iga's good on the grass now. Like, I think she finaled the tournament prior to Wimbledon, right? And lost to Pegula. And like, Iga looks good right now. I think Sabalenka the favorite. I think Iga is the second favorite in my own mind, having not looking at any odds. You kind of agree?
Yeah, I mean, she's won 4 slams. No, or 5? Gosh. Now I can't remember. She either won 4 or 5. I should know that off the top of my head. But yes, I think those two are the favorites. I don't know if Andreeva is going to be a favorite ahead of Swiatek just because of the success that Iga has had in previous years, just at these big events. But it's wide open. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if anyone made the finals at this point.
You see Iga, sorry to cut you off, this food she's eating, she put on Twitter or Instagram. Pasta with strawberries? What?
That'll give you a tummy ache.
Dude, that can't be good. It's apparently like a real dish.
I wouldn't eat that before your next ESPN desk hit.
Yeah, No way. I'm not on the desk tomorrow, so I'll be good. Emma Navarro beats past champion Krajicevic.
Yep.
Emma looked pretty good. Krajicova. What did I just say? Krajicevic?
Yeah.
Damn. It's been a long day.
Like, it's been a long day.
Everyone knows what I'm talking about. Krajicova. I'm sorry. I botched that. I shouldn't botch that one. Krajicova got a little sick late, and Emma just... I don't know. Emma was fit, extended the points, just did what she... I didn't think she played like lights out, but she did what she needed to do to win. And here she is in the fourth round, and she's on a side of the draw that she can honestly... anyone can go through.
Yeah, totally. I mean, just the only thing that might be her downfall on the grass for Emma would be her serve. It's just attackable. You know, they had in the third set today in that match, I think they had 5 breaks in a row until Emma finally held in the third set. So, you know... there's only so many times you can ask yourself to break back. I mean, at some point you're going to kind of run out of that mojo. But her forehand looks good. I mean, the way she's getting it off the court, making these women kind of run outside the doubles alley, hooking it off the court is impressive. And she's a competitor. We all know that. So, I mean, I would not be surprised if she continues this fine form and hopefully gets to a late second week here.
Yeah. Anisimova. One didn't play great, but just one. She has the game, as we know, that can win the tournament. I'm just gonna leave that at that. I don't want to hype her up that much. She's just quietly going through the draw. If she keeps going though,
under the radar,
exactly. We're gonna keep her under the radar. Again, like this woman's side, Samsonova wins, Alexandrova wins, Noskova wins. It's the OVA section. They're just cruising. We're going to see what happens there. I don't know. We got Sierra beating Busca.
Good lucky for her. Loser in the fourth round.
Lucky loser. Yeah. That's
making the most of your opportunities for sure.
Yes, it is. Good for her. Polychenkova beats Osaka. Cardle. She's like that British girl. Her game's fun to watch. It's fun to watch. Yeah.
It's fun to watch.
She plays on center tomorrow, I think.
She plays Pavlyuchenkova.
All right. Let's go Cardle.
Yeah.
Tough loss for Keys, losing to Siegemund. Siegemund's tricky.
She is like unorthodox to the max. Just the slices, the junk. And you feel for Maddie because she would have played the lucky loser in the next round. You know, like that stings twice as bad after you lose and you see like what's in front of you, right?
Like, there's nothing worse as a player when you lose and you see the draw. Oh.
Like you get on that plane home and the next day you're like, I could have beaten this girl for a quarter. And then, right? Like you just get to that point. So.
Yeah. All right. We got Rybakina loses and Svitolina loses. We're going to go predictions right now. I'm going to go down. I want you to predict everyone.
Out of all of them.
Let's start with the women. First up, Andreeva and Navarro.
Oh, I didn't realize they played each other. That's a tough one.
You have 3 seconds or I'm ending the show.
You pick this one.
Emma.
I'll take it.
I'm going Emma. And that's just not just because like I'm American. I just like she just looks good right now.
I think she's due. I'm going to go with Emma as well.
I think she's due. All right. All right. On our list here, we're doing this right now. I don't even have the matchups in front of me. Sorry, everyone. We're going to cut this because I'm an idiot.
I've got it right. Look at that.
Let's go to that. All right. I got it. Sinner Dimitrov.
Sinner. Glad to see Duke Grigor is back and playing well.
Yep. Shelton Sonego.
Gosh, Sonny the King sounds good, but Ben's going to get that one done.
Yeah, Sonny the King going down in straights. Chillett.
Give me Chillett,
from the past. Yeah, he's beating Kovalli. He's giving me the quarterfinals. Novak Demenauer.
I want a Chillett-Novak quarter for old time's sake.
Yeah, yeah. The upsets are done at Wimbledon. We had enough. Is Fritzy beating Jordan Thompson?
I'll just tell you right now. I'm going to go Fritz, Kachanov, Cam Nori, Alcaraz.
Yeah. I agree with everything you just said. Give me the women real quick. Sabalenka Mertens.
Sabalenka.
Sierra Siegemund. That's a tough one.
I'm going to go Siegemund just because she's going to be super unorthodox.
Yeah, I haven't seen a lot of either of them play. Anisimova beats Noskova.
Anisimova, yes.
Yeah. A Cardle. You got to go with Cardle.
I'm going to go Cardle. Yeah, for sure.
I'm all in on the Cardle bandwagon. We got Emma Navarro, Alexandrova, Bencic.
I'm going to go Alexandrova in that one.
You're going Swiatek.
Swiatek, and then Samsonova.
Yeah, I gotcha. Same ones.
I don't want to butcher anyone's name anymore.
Yeah. All right, let's move on real quick. Do you see this Ivan Isevic quote about his boy Tsitsipas? I'm going to read you the quote. I'm going to read everyone the quote. You've seen the quote.
Do you also, before you read it, do you think there's still a working relationship?
Yeah, I have no idea.
Okay.
I'm
just curious. I haven't heard anything. Maybe I've missed it, but
tough. You break up, you and your girl break up, and then your coach rips you like 3 days later.
Coach doesn't just rip you; he just throws
Goran.
You.
Goran. Yeah. So here's a quote: Goran talking about Tsitsipas. He wants it, but doesn't do anything about it. Always saying, "I want," but I don't see any progress. I was shocked. I've never seen a more unprepared player in my life with the knee. I'm 3 times fitter than him. It's really bad. It's simple and not so simple. I've talked with him many times. If he figures out a few things off the court, he has a real shot. He's way too good to be outside the top 10. So Goran's either getting fired tomorrow morning, or maybe this is like the spark and he gets him back in the top 10 because Tsitsipas has been playing like garbage for his standards last like year.
Yeah, well below his standards.
Like, whoa, well, I mean, what a quote.
What a quote.
Did someone interview Goran? Where did this quote come from?
Either way, sometimes it just needs to be said. You know, there's only so many things you can say in private. I guess, you know, if your point doesn't get across. And look, Goran has worked with Novak for years. So he has seen what a professional tennis player should be doing at the highest level every single day, right? Novak is one of the most professional players out there. He's just dialed in. Every day he's doing something good for himself, for his body, for his game, for his future on the tennis court. As you can see that, he's 38 and still at the, you know, near the top of tennis. So it's really impressive. And this quote can go one of two ways, right? It could give the kick in the pants that Tsitsipas needs, and maybe we'll see a big summer out of him and a big second half of the year. Or he could kind of fire Goran and just go back to whatever he's been doing and stay top 30, I guess. I don't really know.
He literally said he's the most unprepared player I've ever seen in my life.
That's not what you want to hear out of your
that
coach.
That can't be true. That can't be true. I mean, Tsitsipas is pretty freaking good.
There's a lot of players that are probably unprepared, but maybe relative to his level. But that's not mincing words for sure. Yeah.
All right, we'll see how that shakes out. Let's give a little update on the snake draft. I'm in the lead. I have 8 points. John's in second place with 6 points. Jack with 4 points. And Stevie, your crappy team has 4 points.
Well, Jack has nobody left, okay?
Yeah, you need Carlos. If Carlos makes the final, you should be done.
I should have got Hubie's lucky loser, but that's fine.
Yeah, hey, rules are rules. Bracket update. I'm now in first place. Jack is now last place. I'm in first. Stevie, you're in second. John in third. Jack in fourth.
Still, and remember, a close race here.
Loser of that has to awkwardly do an episode shirtless.
I will say, though, the one thing that I notice here in our four draws, Jack has Sinner winning. So if Sinner wins, he's going to have good enough points to beat all of us.
Yes.
Because, like, the you know, the finals weighted. So if he's even within striking distance, that's going to be a big one. I'm hitting. I'm going to get outside, maybe take the shirt off for a little. Maybe do a couple of push-ups.
It's going to be so awkward.
The camera's only going to see my head.
Yeah.
It's going to be a lot of headroom in the next video.
All right. That's it for the round three update. We're on Nothing Major Pod on X, Instagram, TikTok. I'm trying to think. I don't have anything else to say.
Do you still think you can beat Hubie Hurkacz now that he has a hurt knee?
I don't know. James, I'm playing the Legends this week at Wimbledon. James Blake and I have our first match on Tuesday.
Ooh, how's the form looking for you guys?
We haven't hit a ball since we've been over here.
Good.
So
good.
Not good. I've seen some of the other Legends players hit. We're not going to be that good.
Who? What other names you got for us?
The Bryan brothers are playing. Hewitt, Malise, Bagdatis, Shardy, Cabal, nice. Farah.
Huh.
I want to say I saw Lindstedt on the practice court.
I did see Takao. Him. Yeah. Okay.
The other Legends guys are like practicing.
You guys are in trouble.
I would also feel like an idiot if I was taking a practice court week one while like real players were playing, so that I refused to take the practice court.
That's a good point. I mean, you did get transportation tonight. You don't feel bad about that.
I get the look. That's why you play the Legends, because my badge, I get the transportation and I can go into the lounge.
You didn't want to wait. Can you go in the lounge with your Final Eight badge or no?
No, Final Eight. There's a separate Final Eight club for people that make quarterfinals here. Ooh. I'm yet to go in it. It's somewhere
where
on the ground.
Do you know where it is?
It's over on the main stadium. I assume it's just like a bunch of 80-year-olds sitting in there that like made a semifinal in doubles in like 1971 and they're smoking pipes. But I don't know. I'm going to pop in there this week. I'll pop in there tomorrow. I'll report back in two days.
Report back on Monday's show, please.
All right. I'll do that. All right. We'll see everyone then.